Well, this morning we are finishing up a sermon series we've been in this summer called Not Just for Kids. It's a sermon series where we have gone back and we have looked at some of the most beloved stories in all of Scripture, stories that we often tell our children, but stories we sometimes forget about as adults. And if you've been with us since the beginning of July, you'll remember we've talked about some of the best ones, like Daniel in the lion's den. We talked about Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. We talked about Samson and his haircut. And of course, there was Jonah and the really big fish. All of which leads us to our scripture passage this morning, which comes from the New Testament. It's a story about Jesus coming to his disciples, one of the most beloved ones to tell any children, about him walking on water. And Peter wanting to do the same. We're going to look at the story, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Melt us and mold us, make us and use us, have thine own way. Amen. Well, just over 10 years ago, a sociology professor from Cornell University, a man by the name of Carl Pillemer, began a research project where he interviewed over 1,200 senior citizens in America and asked them a single question. What did he ask them? Well, he asked them what they regretted most in their lives. He was talking to people in their 80s and 90s, and he simply wanted to know what part of their story would they change if they could change anything? What were some of their biggest regrets? You know, did they regret not spending more time with family? Did they regret not going on that river cruise for their anniversary? Did they regret not playing more golf? Or did they regret playing a little too much golf? What would they change? If they could change anything, what would it be? The answer? Well, Pillemer found that there was a surprising consistency amongst the people interviewed. They told him they wished they hadn't spent so much of their life worrying. Fear, that's what they would change if they could. That's what they regretted the most. They worried about how much time they had been worrying. Fear, after all, is the great thief of life. It's the thing that come in and steals opportunities from you. It's the thing that causes you to hesitate and watch your life just pass you by. They worried that they had spent too much time worrying. In our scripture passage this morning, Jesus calls to Peter and invites him to come out onto the sea. He invites him to take a step forward in faith. Only the scripture says, as soon as Peter heard the sound of the wind, as soon as Peter saw the torrent of rain, he became frightened. He started to worry. He became afraid. Now, make no mistake about it. Jesus was inviting Peter to have the opportunity of a lifetime. He invited Peter to perform a miracle that seemed otherwise impossible. This is the type of story you tell your kids at Thanksgiving dinner. This is the type of thing that ends up in the first paragraph of your obituary in the New York Times. To perform a miracle like that, it's something few people get to do. Only Peter missed it. He was afraid. He took a few steps onto the water and suddenly his anxiety got the better of him. He started to worry about all the things that could happen. He started to imagine all of the negative possibilities. And as soon as that moment happened, he began to sink in the water. He started to fear. People interviewed said that they just wished they hadn't spent so much time worrying. makes you wonder how many miracles we've missed in our lives. It's simply because we've allowed a fear to stand in the way of what it is God is calling us to do. How many times have we sat back, played it safe, hedged our bets, as soon as we heard the wind and the waves begin to rise? You hear the voice of Jesus saying to you to come. You hear the call put upon your life. And yet, how often do we find ourselves paralyzed with fear? Maybe that's why in the year 1506, Pope Julius II approached a young Florentine artist named Michelangelo and asked him to paint the ceiling of a newly commissioned chapel outside of St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. The Pope told the artist that this was going to be the crown jewel of Catholicism, that the sanctuary of this chapel would host some of the most important worship and work of the entire Christian church. The Pope told him that this was the opportunity of a lifetime, and to participate in it was the greatest honor any artist could receive. And so the Pope was a little surprised when Michelangelo turned him down. He said to the Pope, "You know, I don't really do ceilings." And why? Well, it's because he was afraid. He was afraid that this project might somehow ruin his legacy. After all, he was a sculptor, not a painter. He worked with a chisel, not a brush. And so the idea that somehow he could mess it all up, somehow he could ruin the reputation he had earned, the idea that somehow he could embarrass himself in front of the entire world, it seemed too real. So he said no. He ran away. He left the city entirely. He moved from Rome back to Florence, and there he hid. Scared to answer the call. Jesus said to Peter, "Come." "Come," he said, "step out into the water. Come into the storm. Come into the sea. Don't let the wind and the waves scare you," he said. But Peter was afraid. In fact, Jesus said to Peter that he lacked faith. He just didn't believe enough. But what did Peter lack faith then? It's not that he lacked faith in God. He still believed in God. And it's not that he lacked faith in Jesus. He believed Jesus could stand on the water. So what did he lack faith in? Peter lacked faith in himself. He lacked a belief that he could actually do the thing God was calling him to do. In that moment, Peter stopped believing that if Jesus wanted him in the middle of that stormy sea, that Jesus would be there with him in the middle of the wind and waves. Peter lacked faith in himself. So how about you? What is it that you're so afraid of? What is it that's holding you back? Why are you hesitating? What's keeping you from answering the call God has put on your heart? Don't let the negative self-talk, don't let the lack of faith in yourself distract you from the one voice that matters the most, the voice that is saying to you, come, the voice that is inviting you into the venture that is faith. Because you might have lost faith in yourself, but God has not lost faith in you. Don't forget, God was the one who created you for this purpose in the first place. God is the one who's calling you into the stormy seas in the first place, so don't miss it. Don't be afraid, Jesus says. Don't be afraid. Instead, respond. Take a step. And wait for the miracle to take place. You know, the story goes, Michelangelo ran from Pope Julius II for 2 years. In 2 years, he hid out in Florence. And there, during that time, all he worked on were sculptures. He worked with rock and chisel because they were safe and they were comfortable and they were not a threat to his reputation. But then one day, the Pope found him, as only popes can do. The Pope approached him for a second time, and the second time invited him once again to be part of this project, encouraged him once again to leave a legacy. Only this time, Michelangelo didn't say, you know, I don't do ceilings. Instead, this time, he set aside all of his fear, all of his negative self-talk. He set aside all of his worry, and he said yes. And the world is a better place because of it. You know, the world's a better place because in 1517, a German monk named Martin Luther didn't say to God, God, you know, I don't do church doors. The world is a better place because in 1845, a Scottish doctor named David Livingstone did not say, God, you know, I don't do jungles. The world is a better place. And because Moses didn't say to God, God, I don't do pharaohs. And Noah didn't say to God, God, you know, I don't do animals. And Rahab didn't say to God, God, you know, I don't do enemy spies. The world is a better place. Because Ruth didn't say, I don't do mother-in-laws. And Samuel didn't say, I don't do mornings. And David didn't say, I don't do giants. The world is a better place. Because Paul didn't say, I don't do Gentiles. And John didn't say, I don't do deserts. And Mary didn't say, I don't do virgin births. The world is a better place. Because Jesus didn't say, I don't do crosses. Yes, anytime anyone says yes to the call of God on their life, anytime a person has enough faith to take that first step and respond to the purpose God has laid upon them for this season of their life, anytime a person has faith enough to get out of the boat, the world becomes a better place. So don't be afraid. Whatever it is, do not fear. He said, listen. Listen to the voice of the one who is calling you in the first place. Listen to the voice of the one who is saying to you, come. Listen to that voice and step boldly into those wind and step boldly into those waves and trust that if he's calling you there, he will be there with you. And when you respond, just know the world's going to be a better place. In the name of the Father and the Son, in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, we give you thanks that you have given us this great adventure of faith, that you do call us. You invite us to respond, to be part of the miracle that is taking place. So give us such faith, O Lord, that by day and by night, in all times and in all places, we might with joy hear your call. And we might with joy take a step forward. For we offer this prayer in the name of the one who came to us amongst those stormy seas, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.